Boom. 8 o'clock, The Room Podcast. Tommy Shayhood.
Here we are.
Steve Domenico in The Room.
Yeah, buddy.
Took last week off, didn't we?
2 weeks.
Well, you were here. Yep. I did go live, I think, with Mike Polvere or something like that.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. I wasn't here for 2 weeks.
And then I did an interview with Billy Goff.
Hell yeah, that was good.
And then we're back here Wednesday night.
Yeah, buddy. Cheers. Missed you. Too, how's it going?
It's going well, my man. Really has changed.
You didn't gush too hard over Billy like I thought you were going to do?
No, I didn't. We talked offline, though.
Oh, yeah. A couple of DMs.
We got a little.
There you go. You must have been psyched.
Together,
yeah. Good for Kim.
We're talking and stuff. So.
Yep. He's got
to. Just making sure my mic works there. Yeah, hello.
I think mine's on, too. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now? It's cranking. So.
Hot mic.
It's been a little while. Yeah, let me make sure.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Cranking, yeah, hear my me. my nasally voice.
Cranston.
There. Cranston. The Cranston snort or whatever. Well, Tommy, like I said, Billy Goff I had on last week, and that was pretty cool interview with him. He's fighting May 11th. And then Mike Polvere was on here. He spilled a bunch of beans that all that stuff's coming out now at Cage Titans.
Sure, yeah, I've been seeing some of their posts.
Yep. We had another fighter on there with him, and then
Jake, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And now we're here this week with Ross Levine.
Yep.
Turbo. Karate Combat.
That's middleweight a fun sport.
World champion because they come from all.
Yeah, international.
Hello.
Cool.
I think I got a gate on my mic or something here.
I don't know. Did you have a gate on before?
I don't know.
Yeah, we can hear you on that. So.
I just like hearing my voice
Nothing
again.
But professionalism over here.
But Ross Levine will be coming on here talking about Karate Combat and kind of his martial arts journey.
Mm-hmm. Has he ever been on the show?
Pre-COVID. Yeah. I know Ross mostly from when he was working with Team Link in Hooksett, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. I knew a lot of those guys and girls there that were fighting, and Ross would be helping them out, and he would be in their corner a lot. But that's mostly how I knew him. Then I saw him fight at a couple of regional kickboxing Muay Thai events, and I got to be kind of friends with him about that. Went to interview him down at Pride Martial Arts in Rhode Island, and where his main gym there, and just followed him, and he's been helping everybody as far as striking. And when you mention his name in karate and out of karate and just in martial arts in general, everyone knows Ross Levine. And we'll talk to him a little bit about his, how he, came up in this and Karate Combat and all that. He fought for, Pride? Not Pride. What the hell is it? Glory. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Glory. Dating myself. Fought for Glory. Yeah. Had two wins there. Mm-hmm. And then COVID set in. Mm-hmm. So then...
everything went to shit.
Yeah. He was on the shelf for a while,
Good. Yeah.
MMA. He's not an MMA fighter, so there's no kickboxing really going on.
Yeah, not so popular.
So,
very cool. That'll be a good one.
Yeah, we're going to talk to him all about it and get his take on that. But I did mention, I did see that he put that he's got a fight announcement coming up. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he probably can't announce it here. Because, as you know, I don't know if you do know that, but Karate Combat's a pretty freaking big deal.
Yeah.
This point.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about it. You hear people talking about it on other podcasts. And
yeah, it's that and the Game Bread, George Massaville's MMA bare knuckle stuff. Yep. That stuff has exploded. Look at slap fighting that died.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Nothing compared to these two things.
So do those guys' brains.
some of them in the Massaville promotion. But,
yeah, well, I'm talking about the slap guys.
Yeah. But so Ross Levine's going to come tonight. Talk a little bit about, what I'd really like to talk to him about is pick his brain about the rules of Karate Combat and, how the atmosphere and everything goes on. Because I got some video here and stuff.
I've watched a bunch of those fights.
When he's on, but I don't get a lot of it. Like, there's ground combat. Like, you can take him down, kind of, sweep him.
They have that.
And then you can hit him a couple of times down on the ground.
That seems like it. You'll have to ask him.
Yeah. I gotta see what's going on.
Good questions. Yeah, that'll be good because they have that ring that they're in, which is kind of like angled at the sides, and then they fall against it, and then they still kick them.
Look how sexy you sound.
Oh, you think so? Thank you.
You have a natural radio voice. Sure. I have to say.
It's pretty deep and sultry.
Tommy, when you came on the show for the first time, I was like, wow, check this guy out. There you go. Sound so good.
That's why you kept me around, right?
Yeah, definitely. I need sexiness.
Mm-hmm. Almost 2 years.
I was thinking about that today. How long it's been?
In like the summertime, I think it'll be when I started.
We'll find a video. It's on YouTube. Sure. First rendezvous.
Yeah, very first one. That'll be funny. I haven't watched that in a while. Yeah, us getting to know each other.
Fucking excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All we did was chat on Messenger for like 10 seconds.
Yeah. Not
like
too much.
A couple of voice messages, and we were on.
Cool.
Has changed since you came in here a little bit, and it's changing again, people. Mm-hmm. This round table that you can't see right here, a staple of the room podcast, is leaving. Mm-hmm. I do have someone that might take it. If not, it's going right outside the room there, and somebody I'm sure will grab this piece of art. But it's a big round table. It can be extended another 18 inches to an table.
It would make a great kitchen table for someone.
It would. It actually would.
That's what it is. It's a kitchen table.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's why it has the leaf.
All right, I know.
And you know that's what it's called, the leaf, right? You open it up, you stick it in the middle.
That's what I call it.
I don't know. It's probably
an insert, extension.
Sure, all that, same thing.
So anyway, this is going, and we're trying to get the band in here so they can leave their amps. So we're going to have a more loungy way. Cool. We'll be lounging back a little bit. The mics will be over here in our faces again.
Yep.
The cameras will be on tripods, but there'll be more room in here.
Yeah, we'll get a good setup going with all the gears and the cameras.
Probably even put a fucking... futon in here.
You might have to live in here.
I might have to live. The way the economy is going, I might have to live in here.
We both might.
Yeah.
Bunk beds.
Tommy. Last thing before Ross comes on. I do know that, as you know, Tommy is in the cannabis industry in some way. Mm-hmm. But how was your 420?
It was good. So not only is 420 the weed day, but it is my wedding anniversary. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, 5-year anniversary. Me and my wife, 420. We had a clone on every table. It was a weed wedding. It was great.
Speaking of clones, I'll talk to you after the show. But
so we just chilled. We smoked. Had some lobsters. That's it.
You and just the wife celebrating 420 and your anniversary, 5-year
on a Saturday. Yep, because it was wedding was a Saturday too, and it was a Saturday. So
glad I asked that question.
Good question. I was going to bring it up. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. That's
so. I imagine when you and your wife met and. You know, when you're planning the wedding and that whole area, you were smoking weed together. And,
That's
if you managed to have it on 420, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're pretty dedicated when it comes to that.
You're cloning things.
Yeah,
for medical use only, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, so.
I don't have an ailment in my life, so, maybe mental.
Oh, my God. I got a new friend that has been watching the interviews and, like, watching the fighters and stuff like that. Yeah. All they keep saying is how healthy and hairy and vibrant the people's hair are.
Sure, yeah.
They're like, there must be so much stuff firing in their body.
They're
healthy. Beards are shining. Yeah. I got to say, Tommy, you got to.
Looking ridiculous these days, I think.
You must have like a lawn on your back and shit.
No, not so much my back. Definitely my chest. It's not too bad right now. I got a tattoo on my chest. So it's a bird. So when it's really hairy, I say it's in the nest.
Oh, that sounds cool. Though. You can just see it peeking out.
You barely can even see it.
You have one of those like Seinfeld pads that come right the fuck out? Like,
oh, yeah. Not that bad. Right. There's other people. There's definitely worse people at the gym and stuff, you know.
Excellent.
I'm not so terrible on that aspect. My face is a different story.
I gotta say, you grow a beard in like 10 days.
It's ridiculous.
Like you shave it right off.
Yeah.
And you grow it. It's like fully back.
I'm a healthy guy.
I'm trying to grow my hair back, by the way.
It's
like I had the mohawk.
It's looking longer right now.
So I need a haircut Friday. I'm getting a haircut. Yep. So it looks terrible right now, people. I'm trying to grow my hair out, so I can...
Little ponytail?
In the wind. Maybe I'll have one on top,
God. No. We won't allow that.
So it's 8:15. I'm going to give, excuse me, Ross Turbo Levine a call. And we're going to talk a little combat karate and learn some things about it.
Yep.
I forgot to tell you, I did run into him. That's how I'm getting this interview.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember a couple of 2 or 3 weeks back, I went to a karate demonstration.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Sports karate.
Mm-hmm.
Ross was there.
Of course.
Because he's deep into that.
Yep.
But it was in Warwick, the Crown Plaza, and it was a fabulous friggin' show. The kids twirling thing. It was crazy. That kid's from like, it looked like 6, 7 years old all the way to like, you know, late teens. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And, you know, maybe I'll recap a little of that with Ross, because that's what he used to do in his, you know, upbringing in the martial arts world. So let me give him a call and see if he's ready.
Boomer.
Yeah.
Jamie, can you call Ross for me, please? Yeah, right. Yes, he is. He's ready. All right, let's give him a call. Let's get him going. Whoa, that's loud.
Drum roll, please.
What's up, Ross Levine?
What's going on? What's going on? Can you guys hear me and see me okay?
Yeah, we can see you and all. Just make sure you stay on the road. We'll get you going and stuff.
But... I'm not. My beautiful wife is driving.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Passenger princess tonight.
Excellent, my man. Where are you coming from? Dinner? You got practice? What's going on?
Training, my man. Training. Yep. You know how it is.
That's how it is.
Training at Pride Martial Arts?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We just had Wednesday's our big day. We I teach a competition class at 6 p.m. and then we do the like a heavy bag class at 7 p.m. and then they're doing some sparring right now. But you know, I spar on Fridays up at Hard Knocks, so you guys got me.
Nice.
Excellent. Well, speaking of you know, the sports karate, that's how I got you on the show. I seen you a few Saturdays ago, and you know, you were at the sports karate at the Crown Plaza. Talk about that, man. How excited you were to get in there and see that?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the sport karate event?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's fun, man. I mean, that's what I grew up doing. And it's funny because you remember the very first time you and I met was in that ballroom when we were getting ready for wartime.
Yes.
Nice. So crazy how full circle that stuff goes. But yeah, it was really cool to be there and just kind of...
Came up with that at all aspects, not only in the sports karate, but the staff, all that kind of, you know, kind of dance stuff going on, man. How cool was it to watch these, the new generation kind of doing it in front of you?
The new generation is so much more advanced than I was. Like, I was there on Sunday, they had the underbelts doing their sparring, like white and yellow belts. So everyone basically who's not a black belt. Which you would consider like beginner intermediate, right? And I was watching some of these kids who have only been doing it for like 6 months, and they were way better than I was, even as like a 15-year-old black belt. Like, it's crazy. And not just fighting, like some of the kicks, the acrobatics, like their balance, their discipline. It's just insane, man. It's just the sport's evolving, and it's just really, really cool to watch. And to know that I paved the way for some of those kids is really, really cool.
Now, as far as them, you know, doing leaps and bounds from when you did, do you think that has a lot to do with kind of teachers like you, instructors, bringing these kids up now? And probably YouTube and everything's all over for at these kids' disposal.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, they're able to watch and they, you know, they watch the things that have been successful with past competitors. And then they also get to see our mistakes. You know, I think that's the big key is they see the mistakes we've made and they're like, all right, well, we're not going to do that. So.
Oh, lost them for a second. They'll pop back.
There you know, you then they, yeah, the internet and.
That's all right, Ross. It's a live show.
Yeah, you lose me there.
We're used to it. I got you back.
Cool. Yeah, man. So I was just saying the internet and the evolution of the sport go hand in hand for sure. You know, those kids get to see our mistakes. They get to see all the stuff we did well. And yeah, they just continue to evolve.
Well, Ross, as you're ending that little thing there, I'm showing your years of evolution here that I took off your Instagram and off Karate Combat, showing all the years through here up until your title win at Karate Combat, man. It's been a ride, bro. It's been a ups and downs as far as you being on the shelf, not being able to get fights and all that. All through your amateur career also. Man, how excited are you to, you know, be where you are right now in the sport and in martial arts in general?
Yeah, it's a blessing, man. I've been really fortunate to have not just great teammates, great coaches, but just a super supportive fan base. You know, the people who have followed my career all the way from sport karate are still following my career now and supporting me, you know, in every possible way. So I'm just really, really fortunate. And I think part of it is I was raised well. I got to give credit to my parents, and you know, they had me treating people right. So, mm-hmm. You know, you do good by people, they do good by you. So I've been very fortunate.
Well, not to rant and rave about them and not getting into too in depth about your family history, but you are not the only one that is, you know, in the martial arts field. You want to talk a little bit about that? Because they are probably the ones that pushed you into this great career of yours.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's just a long history of combat in my family. You know, my grandfather was in World War II.
Mine too.
My grandfather on the other side was in Korea. So, you know, and then my dad was a black belt, or is a black belt. My brother was doing it as well. And you know, I got involved too. So it runs in the family, man. It's in the bloodline. My nephews are doing it now. I have twin nephews that they're training too. It's awesome.
Speaking of training, Ross, not only are you busy doing your own thing and, you know, the karate competitions and getting people ready for your fights, you guys had some success a weekend or two ago what was it, No Boundary?
No Boundary, yeah. Yeah, we had two of our students over at Pride Martial Arts compete. We had a unanimous decision victory, just a total domination. And we also had a first-round knockout. So
nice.
Yeah, our guys are really coming along. You know, they've been super consistent, disciplined, dedicated, and, man, the results speak for themselves.
Yeah, one of the knockouts was, what kind of kick was that? It looked like a Luke Rockhold kind of kick, knocked the kid right unconscious, man.
Don't you say that man's name in my presence.
I was going to say.
But, yes, it was a question mark kick. You know, you set him up to the body, and then we go up top.
I'm going to show that in a second, but talking about Luke Rockhold, weren't at the last karate combat competition, were you?
No, that was over in Dubai. I was not there. You know, they asked if they wanted me to come out or if I wanted to come out, and I told them no, I wasn't interested in fighting in Dubai, that I wanted to fight in the States. So, you know, I was just home training. If I didn't have something coming up, I might have gone out there and watched and supported. But, yeah, I was watching from home, but I did see the fight, yes.
A question, because I'm not a Luke Rockhold fan at all. Not at all. Is he in your weight class? Is he a 205, 185-er?
He was a champion in the UFC in Strikeforce at middleweight at 185. This most recent fight was a catchweight at 195. And I think that's only because his opponent, Joe Schilling, found out a little short notice. So I think they did a catch weight instead. But that's a super fight. You know, he's not a rostered fighter in my division, so he can kind of come and go as he pleases.
Well, I've been watching you a little bit on other interviews and things you've been saying. You know, Darren Till's name came up on a couple of social media sites.
Yeah.
And, you know, now Luke Rockhold is actually there. And like you said, that'd be a super fight to, you know, get a good payday and get a lot of eyes on there. But, what are you eyeballing? I mean, Darren Till's a new guy on the block also, but that's a big name too also.
Yeah, you're not lying, man. I mean, I would love and I would love to entertain any one of those opportunities. You know, unfortunately, a lot of those guys, I think the title honestly scares them away. Like, I don't think those guys want to fight for the title. I think at the stage of the career that they're all at, they're looking for the big money fight. And they don't necessarily want to be tied down and have to fight again if they don't want to. So, you know, I told the league as well, like, I'm open to a super fight. If they don't want to fight for a title and be on the roster, that's fine. But I want to test myself against some of those, you know, best in the world. But in the meantime, that all seems to be falling through. They don't want a piece of the young, well, I'm not young, but younger, comparatively speaking. But I've got a great matchup on May 30th coming up. I'm going to be fighting for another the middleweight world title. So I'm just pumped and focused on that, man. The rest of those guys can do whatever they're doing.
Excellent, my man. Well, you're 4-1 in karate combat. Your only loss is your last fight against a UFC veteran in Sam Alvey. You stepped up heavyweight, 205. What was that choice? Was it just to be a double champ? What was the choice to fight Sam and not defend the belt again?
Lack of competition. That's really it. There was nobody available at middleweight in the roster that has, that unfortunately Karate Combat hadn't really developed the middleweight division behind me. They ran me to the top of the division really quickly, and we kind of ran out of people to fight. A couple people were turning me down. There were several fighters in the 205 division that also turned me down, and Sam Alvey was the only guy to step up and say, let's go. And then short of, any super fight opportunities, we just didn't have them. So, it was just a matter of I wanted to fight in Vegas. It's something I never did, so I wanted to check that box. And who wouldn't want to fight someone like Sam Alvey? You guys had over 80 professional fights, and 70% knockout ratio. Like, the guy's an animal. It was just a matter of I didn't have any other opportunities, and I wanted to stay active.
Well, as far as Karate Combat and Sam Alvey and the fights itself, it's exciting to watch just the whole way it's put together, where you're fighting. But, Ross, there's some questions about the rules here, because there are some sweeps and takedowns, and you can strike on the ground. Can you explain to us the rule set and how much time on the ground you guys are allowed to have?
Yeah, so it used to be 5 seconds on the ground.
Okay. Step on blood! He wants to see him go to the end! Let's go!
Watch!
That's game over! Like, if you try and step away and just regain the victory, they're going to stand you up. If you get tied up and, play your
Step on blood! He wants to...
So if I lose you for a second, I will be right back. So.
Cool.
Oh, that's all right, my friend. We got plenty of video to go through here, but I want to talk a little bit about the Sam fight, because that's where I didn't understand the rules, because it looked like more he was using an MMA way around it, keeping you on the ground, trying to get them takedowns. I don't like that rules. I like the 5 second thing. I think it's better for the grappler in this case. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I like the 5 seconds. I understand both sides. So I like the 5 seconds because it's very clear, it's very distinct. And from one fight to the next, it's always going to be the same. For those reasons, I don't like the unlimited time, because every referee is going to judge it differently, right? And any time you have a referee that's going to dictate how the fight takes place, it just doesn't always go well. You're going to see too many mistakes, right? So, in my opinion, the referee should be completely objective, not subjective. They should only stop the fight or be involved if there's a foul, and they're there to protect me, period, end of story. So I like the 5 seconds, but at the same time, I also understand that you can't just curl up in a ball for 5 seconds. You got to know how to protect yourself or get the hell up. So I see it from both sides. I think time will tell, what the ideal rule set is. And I think Karate Combat is open to change. You've seen that already. So, I think whatever seems to be best is what they're going to do.
As far as that fight, was that the fight that went a sixth round? How is that determined?
So you are not allowed in Karate Combat to have a split decision or a draw.
Okay.
So anytime there is a split decision or a draw rendered by the judges, it automatically goes to a sudden death round.
So overtime.
So you were there all the way to that.
I love it.
So that fight was theirs for you at the sixth round. You could have pulled that fight out right there. Oh, I'm losing him. Shit.
No, he's back.
Is he?
Yeah, correct. So it must have been a split decision that they pushed us to the sixth round.
In that fight,
this is that dead zone I was talking about.
All right, we'll wait for you if you die, but this wasn't the 5 second rule in this fight, right?
There was the 5 second rule, but you got to remember when you're on the pit wall, on the edge of the wall, you're still considered a standing opponent.
Oh, see,
it's only when your butt hits the floor that those 5 seconds count.
See, that's what we were talking about before, that side little floor. So you're still standing up when you're up against the wall right there.
Technically, yes. Okay. Yeah, and Sam did a really good job. And again, guy's a veteran, right? There were a couple times where when he would kind of push me into the wall, he would try and lodge his knee under my hip so that I couldn't fall to the floor. So I was technically, you know, there were times when I was stuck there, you know, just taking a beating from that big old man.
Yeah.
It was not pleasant for a guy 40 pounds heavier, but yeah, that's the game.
That was going to be my next question. We know you fight at 185. You also fought a ton at 170. I think Glory fought at 170. Here you are, 185, defending the title. Then you jump up to 205. I mean, it's a 205 fight, but Sam Alvey don't wait no 205 at fight night, right?
Yeah, he's a what we call a true 205er, right? The same way I'm a true 185er and a true 170. Like, you there? You guys got me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, he's a true 205er, man. I mean, he had a tough time making weight. He didn't look great at weigh-ins. And then, the next day, dude was a giant. Even at ceremonials, like later that day, I told my coaches, I'm like, he's not that much bigger than me. And then when we stepped in the pit, I was like, okay, we're going to be here for a while. Mm-hmm.
It's always different once you get in there.
Yeah, big time. But, it is what it is. I learned a lot from that fight. I took a lot away from it. And on May 30th, everyone's going to see all the levels that I've grown.
And you mentioned it's back defending your title, correct?
Yes, back to 185. No more 205.
Excellent. A couple of more questions here, Ross, about karate combat in general. We were talking about the growth. It hasn't been around a while. I think you started in 2021 for them. It's just grown like incredibly as far as social media and the presence, because it gives fighters, you know, that are out of these MMA organizations an avenue to. You know, go back to their roots and make some money and make a living here, man. How excited, and talk about the growth of it and how excited you are for the, you know, some veterans coming in, like we're seeing Darren Till, and now we're seeing Sam Alvey, and, you know, all these people, you know, these former MMA UFC guys coming in.
Yeah, I mean, the growth has been tremendous. You know, when I first started, the president, his name is Adam Kovach. He was the original president of Karate Combat. They've, they went through some hard times because they were doing live shows pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. And then when COVID hit, they went to the format where they were doing pre-taped shows. They were doing season formats with all the CGI. So they really came up and just kind of struck gold. And then, you know, post-COVID, they went back to doing live shows. I was very fortunate to be part of that. And now with the new president, Asim Zaidi, he's the guy that runs the Goat Shed, and he really is a master of marketing, not just the promotion, but also his gym, his fighters. So he knows how to use the machine, and he's using it for karate combat. So you're seeing this big explosion of, you know, not only talent, but social media, like you said. You know, they're just hitting all the right points, and it's bringing a lot of eyes.
Yeah, just looking at the Instagram today, over 1.5 million followers there. It's huge. As far as this fight coming up, is it somebody that's, known in the organization? Is it somebody that, maybe you've spoken his name in the past? Who's this guy without giving out too many beans?
No, I mean, I can give you that they've already announced the fight already. So I can share all the info with you guys. He's only fought once for Karate Combat, actually. So a lot of people are like, oh, weird that he's getting a title fight. His name is Adrian Hadrabia. He fought a year ago on the same card that I defended my title with that big left hook knockout. He fought Sasha Polotnikov, former UFC fighter, on 2 weeks' notice with a bad knee and won. So he looked really good, you know, considering all of those, you know, misfortunes. He still won the fight. But Adrian also has a 12-2 MMA record. He's fought in Bellator before. So he's established. He's a little bit smaller than me. You know, good counter fighter. He moves. He's got good footwork. I think it's going to be a nice competitive, scrappy fight.
I see him trying to take you down the whole fucking
I think he's going to have a hard time.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, I keep saying last couple of questions, but Ross, you know, I mentioned your name. Your name is mentioned from so many fighters, Bellator, UFC fighters, local kids, that you help out, my man. How excited are you on that end that you're able to help these guys that are on the top of the heap here, you know, improve their striking game and help them, you know, further their careers?
I love it, man. I'm super passionate about the sport, whether I am, you know, a competitor, a teammate, a coach, like all of those aspects. I really just enjoy every facet of the game. I'm a student of the game. I'm always trying to learn and get better. So, yeah, it means a lot, man. When these guys, you know, other professional fighters and amateur fighters, they turn to me and they say, hey, can you help me in this camp? You know, if you have enough faith in me that you want to invest in my help, I'm investing all of what I got in you, and I want you to be successful. So, you know, I've like I said, again, just been very fortunate where, you know, I've been able to work with some of the best in the Northeast and, you know, do a good job with them.
Excellent. All right, my man, 5 more minutes. Last thing I'm going to talk about is, like, you have everything going on. Your wife's going in the house, probably getting dinner ready. You got your, you know, you got your fighting career, your coaching career, your cornering career, and then you're a physical therapist. Also, how do you fit this all in? Like, where the hell is it all? And then you do seminars around the country. Like, is it nonstop? Like, what the hell's going on with you?
Man, it's a time management thing. You know, I learned really good time management skills in grad school when I was getting my degree. I mean, I'm fortunate now where I own my own business. I got real creepy real quick. There we go. So I'm fortunate now. I don't work in clinic anymore. So I own my own business, and I'm like 90% remote. So a lot of the stuff I do, I can do no matter where I am. So if I'm traveling to teach, I can still access my clients and help them out. I'm doing programming all the time. So, you know, that is a huge weight off my shoulders where I don't have to be stuck in the office from 9 to 5. You know, I can kind of make my hours and build them around my training schedule. So I can legitimately have 2 full-time jobs. And, you know, you mentioned my wife, but she's a huge part of it. And really one of the main reasons I'm successful. Because, you know, how many people have you seen get pulled away from sports and athletics because of their significant other, you know, and she's right there with me, not only supporting me, but pushing me to, hey, work harder. Like, you got more in the tank. Keep going. Like, let's go. You got this. Like, she really is invested in me and my success. And really, without her, a lot of this stuff is not possible.
Perfect, my man. Well, with that said, my man, I wish you well on your next title defense. Last question, who are some of the people helping you get ready for this fight? Because as we mentioned, you're helping everyone get ready for theirs, but who are some of your main training partners, you know, getting you ready?
Yeah, it's all hands on deck, man. I mean, I have in my opinion, the best coaches in the world. You know, I'm managed by Tyson Chartier, Top Game Management, and, you know, obviously those guys know what they're doing. But, you know, my head coach, Andrew Cornell at Pride Martial Arts, and then my striking coach, Jake Manini. Some of my mentors, Jody Tension is my sport karate coach, who's always involved in my camps. I just got back from Toronto. I go up and see Bazooka Joe Valtellini. So, you know, I go up and train with him, former world champion from Glory. And then, you know, my training partners are legit, man. All hands are on deck. So everybody over at Hard Knocks, you know, world champion Steve Walker, Jarrell Cox, man, Romani Alisea, just everybody over there, they're all such studs. And then my own teammates, you know, Kyle Bowler just competed. Kid's a stud. Evan Judkins, Clayton Minnick. We got this kid Isaiah, who's unbelievable. You know, we have a really, really good team. And everyone is helping me, man. I'm getting all the pieces I need, all the little sprinkles to make sure I'm successful.
Perfect, my man. As far as karate combat, I do believe it's free. Isn't it free on YouTube or so?
It's free on a lot of platforms. Yep. You can see it on YouTube, on what used to be Twitter, now is X. And I believe they do a Facebook as well. They stream it everywhere. So you can see it. If I'm not mistaken, they just signed a deal with UFC Fight Pass. So it'll be on Fight Pass too. So yeah, they're crushing it right now. It'll all be live, man. And their Instagram is always popping off. So, you know, even if you miss it live, you can go back and rewatch it. But they're always sharing clips online right away. Their social media team is legit.
Excellent, my man. Well, congratulations on all the success there, my friend.
Thank you, Bruce.
Defending that title once again.
We'll be watching.
Yeah, we'll definitely be watching since it's on Fight Pass and everywhere in between there.
Yes, sir.
With that said, I have your Instagram. Is there any other social media you want to throw out there? Any sponsors? Anyone you want to say thank you to? And I'll let you get out of here.
No, that's the big one right now. I'm actually in the middle of looking for some sponsors. So if anybody's watching this, you know, this show is actually a really interesting and special show because they're doing the Karate Combat event at the Consensus Convention down in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. It's one of the biggest cryptocurrency conventions in the United States. So if there are any sponsors, whether you're crypto involved or not, or if you just want a lot of people, there's going to be so many eyes on this event. It's probably going to be the biggest live show they've done yet as far as attendance goes. And all of those crypto cowboys got some big money. So if you want your brand represented by the champion who's going for another world title, that's a great place to start with some sponsorship. So if anybody's interested in supporting a world champion, you know, local, international, national, whatever, please reach out to me. I would love to work with you guys and put your name out there. And, you know, of course, all sponsorship goes a super long way for me to do all the things I need. But yeah, other than that, man, just huge shout out to my crew, my team, my wife, my family, all my friends, fans, supporters, all that stuff. And for you, man, I haven't seen you in a minute.
Know,
it was great catching up with you
a couple weeks
ago, and it's been a long time since I've been on your podcast. So thank you for thinking of me.
Excellent, my man. Any time you want to come down live, I know you've been here a couple of times in the past, man. It's always here. Always a pleasure, my man. Glad to see you doing great things and helping the community as well. Ross, we'll see you soon, man. And awesome. Thanks for the time, man. You have a good night.
My pleasure. Take care, you guys.
All right.
Later, Ross.
Awesome. What a good dude.
Super cool. Super cool.
Oh, my God. You know, I went to him for physical therapy. Well,
that's the guy to go to.
2018, but it was for arthritis. Like, you can't, you know, there's not much you can do for that after when it's all the bone on bone. But
Yeah.
He did help me strengthen the muscles and stuff around it. But
Smart guy.
Great guy.
Yeah, genius, you know.
His name's mentioned everywhere. Anytime you do, like,
oh, it's
know,
always
a
popping
local
through.
Guy is like getting interviewed. There, Ross, you know, Ross's name comes up, and just have so much.
Boss Rutan talked about him on the Rogan podcast.
Oh, is that right?
Name specific.
Oh yeah.
That's some legendary shit.
Excellent. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's cool. You know that he has his own business, doing his own physical therapy remotely. That's pretty cool. And if you look at his Instagram, we'll throw his Instagram on real quick. Because he does have a big popular Instagram page that he does a lot of, inspirational stuff. He gives you some really good advice about training, about stretching, about overtraining, about when you can train with injury.
Yeah, I watch that. I watch his site.
Yeah, he does a lot of great stuff. So, people, it's Ross underscore Turbo underscore Levine. Follow him on Instagram. He said that's the big place he wants to, really get the social media going.
All over Google.
Yeah. I mean, you Google his name
and
forget it.
Yeah.
He's like everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes from Pride Martial Arts, man. Mm-hmm. I think they're in Wakefield, Rhode Island. I've been there a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful school. And they do jiu-jitsu. They do everything
in
that place.
Yep.
Good for
And he's a friend of Triforce. He's been in there. He's good friends with those guys. So you know,
helping us, probably helping John Doomer and stuff.
Yeah,
probably vice versa.
Probably
back, getting some work in.
I would imagine.
But that's pretty cool that he explained the rules. Yeah, and stuff. I really wanted to get that.
I did not know that. Like that up against that wall. That's at an angle. You're still technically standing up, so you could be curled up in the wall and just getting the shit kicked out of you. And then when you hit the ground, it's different.
It was cool that he talked about it was a 5 seconds, but now it's like, and it's longer than 5 seconds, but it's like you said, it's each ref is different on how they think you're absorbing punches.
Yeah, and what he seemed to be saying was that if they let him go on the ground without the 5 seconds, then it's ref discretion, and you don't want to put it in the ref's hands. You know, it kind of takes it out of the fighter's hands.
Don't you think the guys that have a really good
ground and pound
game will kind of get.
Yeah,
the advantage here.
Of course. So that's why you got to work on that. But, it's just like in other, stand up ground games, it's when the ref stands you up. If sometimes the ref doesn't know that you're really doing work on the ground when you're grappling, and they stand you up, and that gives the advantage to the guy who was just getting the shit kicked out of him on the ground.
Also, these guys that are really good at ground and pound might not be as good at stand up, so they be
getting their they want to go down. They want to take it to the ground.
So it's going to be interesting matchups now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And the karate aspect, you don't want to go to the ground. You want to keep it up. It's all striking. So
yeah, definitely. That was great.
Really good.
I mean, a couple of hiccups, but you can't ask for better than that.
Oh, yeah. He was driving, so it was awesome.
And he fit us in. I mean, the guy's all over the fucking...
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah, he's a legend.
In Toronto last week. He's probably driving over Toronto.
Talking about going to Dubai and shit, you know? Yeah. I'd go to Dubai. Let's go there. We're going to get some press passes for that Dubai fight?
I'm afraid to fly to Florida. And I'm doing that in July.
Yeah. Dubai. We might be disappeared.
I'll have no nails left by the time I land.
They might make us disappear in Dubai.
It's so strict there, isn't it?
I think so. I don't know. But also, it's super party touristy. Like Dubai, that's like one of the main tourist attractions. They fucking party over there. Wow. They're not getting bombed or anything.
Watch your mouth.
I know. I think I canceled.
Watch your mouth. So with that kind of said, as I did mention in the beginning of the show, this table is going to be gone. I'm going to have the band in here. We're going to be practicing every so often, but it'd be, you know, these guys are traveling. I don't want them to have to take their amps back and forth.
The drum set is always the one that's a pain in the ass.
Yes, I think I'm gonna have to eventually get a spare drum set to practice, and that'll be my gig drum set. That is a nice drum set.
That's good. It looks good.
The wood grain. There's a couple of things going on outside as far as other band things I've been talking about and jam nights and stuff like that. So I'm just trying to stay busy. I'm loving the drum.
Good shit, man. Let's start a band. I'll be the singer. You said you like my voice.
We need a singer.
Yeah? Shit, man.
Just talk.
I put myself out
with you. Just talk the lyrics. You don't have to sing.
Yeah, right? Like, be like spoken word, Henry Rollins shit.
Yeah, he's been going all this time. Yeah. He could just be the new one.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking little gray in that.
I got the gray. I went and saw Henry Rollins a couple of years ago, like only 2 years ago, spoken word. What's that small place in Pawtucket? What the fuck is it called? The Met? Is that in Pawtucket? I think that's where we went. I think that's what it was. Yeah, it was. It was the Met, Henry Rollins. It was great.
Him anywhere, like in a small...
Pretty cool. That's what it was.
Not only awesome, but spooky and fucking...
Yeah, yeah. It was ominous. Yep. We were close to him. I was glad to see it. He's not as big as he used to be.
No, he isn't. He's not as intimidating.
No,
right?
He's an old dude.
Kick your ass back then.
He probably still could, but...
Now he'd break a hip.
Back in the day.
I don't know. He's a little fragile right now.
Yeah.
Like fucking,
but always like those muscle freaks never stop, you know.
No.
But back in the day, his neck used to be
a lot of fucking.
Yeah, his neck used to be wider than his head, so it's not those days anymore. I'm wearing a Misfit shirt right now, so you know, not Henry Rollins, but
small story. I when I was playing in the heavy metal bands, we tried this guitar player out and to replace somebody, and he wanted us to do a Misfits tribute band.
Oh, all Misfit songs?
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, that would have been great, but I mean, all Misfit songs would have been ridiculous. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say. I didn't even know who the fuck they were at the time. Who?
Yeah, right. Especially
like, you guys would be good doing the Misfits. I'm like, what?
It's pretty basic shit.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's that punk stuff. You know, I love it, but like, you know, it's like the Ramones. You know what I mean? It's, you know.
I love it.
It's like three chords. Yeah. Those bands made it so special, like with the three chords. So
exactly.
Yeah.
It was something new back then.
Yeah. That's Nirvana. Nirvana had three fucking power chords. That's it.
One lead in the song.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
There was a.
It's a songwriting though.
It was a big time when there was like there was no like really leads in the songs. It was just heavy fucking riffs and singing.
Yep. Yeah, it's like you know look melodies.
Look at Def Leppard. Is there like really leads in their songs? Like wah,
yeah,
wah, right. And that's it. That's
yeah. Fun, you know. You already got an advantage of the drummer with two arms.
He's still better than me.
Right, well, just because he makes more money doesn't mean he's better than you. That,
no,
the whole band is a little questionable. Def Leppard.
He's 750 years old now.
Even back then, not a fan. No, that kind of genre is not my favorite.
Wasn't Vivian Campbell in that band for a little while?
I have no clue that is.
He used to be Dio's guitar player.
Okay.
The last guitar player for Dio, before Dio went into the coffin.
Yeah. I was going to say, we go in there. Poor bastard. Dio's a legend.
Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, man. Good to be back. Let's try to do it again next week.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. If only time can tell, man.
That's right.
But we will always be here. It might be a week.
Yeah.
Skipping.
Yeah, yeah. We're here. I'm here.
It was nice. Ross yeah. Levine coming on tonight. Yep. Cage Titans is coming back in May 25th. We had Neff over the weekend. And
are we going to try to go to CES and see all those guys? Yeah, you don't want to go to that? No, okay. CES. Should we watch it here and stuff, though? Guys. Shahib and stuff?
You can go. I ain't going to
shit. I want to be with you, though. Said,
so with that said,
we gotta respect those guys, though. Well, we gotta support them.
You can,
no, we gotta support our
they
guys.
Can come on, we can, they yeah. can, we can talk about yeah. it, but I'm not going, and I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
Will watch their fights.
My man Will Patillo too. I might be fucking getting the dates wrong. There's a lot of fights coming up, so no, I might be getting them confused. Unless our guys are fighting.
Yes, I mean I'll interview them and they can come down here.
Yeah, sure.
Rant and rave about CES, but. Where is it, Foxwoods again, or is
I
it
think
at
so.
Twin Rivers?
Yeah, I think it's at Foxwoods.
I heard Twin Rivers.
No, this the something I'm thinking of is at Foxwoods, but there's a bunch of fights coming up, so we might be getting them confused.
All right, with that said, Tommy, yes, we out of here, man. Thanks for tuning in. This show, not that it matters, but it will be on Spotify and YouTube and Instagram under the Room Podcast. Just check us out, follow us. You don't know how long I'm going to be here, so give us some support. That said, Tommy, as always, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
We out.
Good night.